Now, we have at present, in our system of education all over the world, a scheme. In India, this was the scheme which was given to us by Macaulay. He wiped out our Indian system of education at one stroke and introduced a system of education which was becoming very prominent in the West in the form of subjects. Education means you study a few subjects. And the scheme is basically study English, mathematics, physics, chemistry, history, geography. All the rest is extracurricular. Art, music, drama. You can do many other good things. Debate, elocution, dance, drama, everything is extracurricular. But this is curricular. Physical education also extracurricular. So you can see that the whole system of education has been reduced all over the world only to basically 5-6 subjects. And education means how much English you have studied, how much history do you know, how much mathematics you have learned. And all the debates in the world on education is centering around this fundamental scheme. Then some progressive teachers come and say, no, this, I will teach mathematics in a different manner. And he becomes a wonderful educationist. He will say, history, geography should not be taught in the way in which you are teaching now. You should teach them as social sciences. So don't teach history, geography, teach social sciences. Innovations of this kind are all the time going on in the world. And this is what is called making education better. And once Mother told us, we are not here to make education better than what it is elsewhere. We are here to do something that is not even conceived elsewhere. And that is our task. What is it that is not conceived? What is it that is not conceived elsewhere at all as a part of education? That is what we want to do. Now I come back therefore to two important points. Faculties and subjects. On both the points, these are the two important parts of educational process. Development of faculties and development of the knowledge that is contained in different subjects. Or development of knowledge which is not even in subjects which we count. There is a kind of knowledge which escapes all the books. Now, as far as faculties are concerned, let us take faculties of the body, faculties of life force, the faculties of the mind, the faculties of the psychic consciousness, the faculties of the ethical being, the faculties of the aesthetic being, the capacities of intuition, of revelation, of discrimination, of inspiration, the faculties of comprehension, the faculties by which you go into transcendental consciousness. Now these are the number of faculties which are before us. Now in our education system, we have made, because of the subjects, a selection of faculties. Largely we teach our children the faculties of memory, the faculties of reasoning, and the faculties of imitation. These are the three important faculties that we develop among our children. And that too in a very perfunctory manner. Incidentally, because main thing is subjects. But incidentally, whatever happens, we teach these three faculties. Faculty of memory, faculty of reasoning, and faculty of imitation. Imitation is not a wrong faculty, it's a good faculty. But we teach these three faculties out of all other faculties. We have no special study of aesthetic faculties, ethical faculties, intuitive faculties, of inspirational faculties, discrimination faculties. We don't have any other process by which the mind can be silenced, the faculty of silencing the mind, the faculty of what is called development of states of consciousness. There are a number of states of consciousness which we don't develop at all. Aristotle spoke of habits, but habit, he used the word in a very large and very enlightened sense. He said education is an education of habits. And what did he mean? It is actually development of states of consciousness. Now in the present system of education, this idea of states of consciousness is completely evaporated. It doesn't exist. There are many states of consciousness which require years of training. So at the right moment, the right emotion will arise in you. Now states of consciousness require a lot of development. I require, for example, to control my passion when I see somebody whose face I don't like. Now as an educated person, I should be able to control myself. This is called education. If I start charging against somebody whose face I don't like, it means I'm a barbarian. I'm not educated. Now how do I arrive at a point of self-control when somebody whom I see and immediately I feel like charged? Now to develop that self-control at the right moment, I have to do self-control even when that face is not before me. A number of times I have to control, even while thinking of him, I have to control myself. Then, if I have controlled 100 times, then at that right moment, I may be able to control. In recent times, for example, I am talking freely with you, in recent times, AIDS has become a great disease in the world. And there are many kinds of prescriptions which are being given as to how to prevent AIDS. And now it is understood that no preventive measures of AIDS are effective unless people are able to control the impulse of enjoyment at that right moment. You may do anything, have any kind of means or aid, all kinds of preventive measures. But if at that moment, exciting moment, if you cannot control yourself, all your measures are gone. Therefore it is now being felt that self-control is a state of consciousness which has developed over years. It's only when you have done for years and years this kind of a self-control over the desire to enjoy, that you can at the right moment, you can possibly control yourself. This is only an extreme example I am giving to show the importance of the development of states of consciousness. Somebody has made a mistake. Christ taught us, for example, forgive them as the Divine forgives you. Just as you trespass and Divine forgives you, he has trespassed, you forgive him. Now this sense of forgiveness, how will you really develop forgiveness? It's a state of consciousness. It's not knowledge, it's a state of consciousness. How will you develop compassion, the kindness, benevolence, generosity? A tremendous list, you may have a long list of states of consciousness which require to be developed. Now in our education system as it is present in the world, these states of consciousness have no place. They develop pell-mell among human beings, all of us. In fact, in that sense, all of us are uneducated. If education was rightly given to us right from childhood, then we would be much better human beings than what we are. And this is an education in which we have not participated. Therefore, when we think that we are educationists, we do not take into account this aspect at all. When we begin to advise education as to what should be education, since we have not been educated in this aspect, we never take into account this aspect to be introduced in educational system. So there is a number of faculties, there are many states of consciousness. And there are many other faculties of which I hardly speak. For example, the faculty of developing physical stamina. Now it's a fact that as a child, I always used to shudder to go into swimming pool. Like most of the children, when you say that now you go to swimming and you try to push the child shucks. He doesn't want to be pushed. Then somehow you push him and then ultimately begins to learn swimming. Now there was nobody to tell me that you don't be afraid, you just go and you will see, you fall into the waters and your body itself will react and you'll be able to swim. It took me a long time before I could start swimming. So I had no practice of swimming. As a result, I found that when I learned swimming, I had no sufficient stamina to swim at length. Now this is one of the examples I am giving you myself of my own inadequacy. That even if I know swimming now, if I am now thrown into the water, I'll immediately drown after some time because I have no stamina to swim for a long time. Now many people don't understand this, but I understand it very well. That I was not educated properly, my education was so inadequate, so wrong, that this capacity to develop my stamina was never given. And therefore I am a very poor specimen of humanity. One who cannot have the stamina to swim. And many other staminas, I mean supposing suffering of cold and heat is also a faculty. And is also a human faculty which must be developed. Similarly, various kinds of courage that you have, Sri Aurobindo has spoken in the perfection of the body, the hardihood of the body, and the kind of experience that comes under a tremendous stress of adventure. When you are at the top of the hill and you have no oxygen and yet you have to breathe, and how does your body immediately come out of the breath is also a great capacity. There are many, many faculties of which we do not normally take into account at all. Now when mother says that education should be for the development of faculties, we normally understand only in a very limited sense this word, because we are aware only of memory, reasoning and imitation. So mother says that you should develop these three faculties and don't worry about other things. It's not true. Mother wants all the human faculties to be developed. And now you can understand there are many faculties. Even if you develop, there are no examinations for them. You cannot have examinations at all. There are many faculties for which there are no exams. Or exam comes only once in a lifetime. When shall I examine whether I have got self-control or not? It may come only once in a lifetime, that examination. So if all education is for passing examinations, there are certain things which you will never develop because they cannot be examined. And that is the reason why mother says education must not be for passing examinations but for development of faculties. Now on the other side, now let us come to the subjects. As I said, at present our limited view of subjects is confined to 5 or 6 subjects. And we try to do our best even in these 5 or 6 subjects. Now the domains are so vast. Yesterday I was seeing what Shali gave me, the GCE examination, this whole book and also the brochure. And last night and today morning I have been studying this, and I feel that if our students can pass these examinations, it will be wonderful. I mean the examination papers which are given here, if our children have capacity to pass these examinations, it will be wonderful. But that is not enough. The conclusion that I came to is, it's not enough. this of course, but much more. And if you have only this syllabus to be passed, then you will never be able to develop children for other things which are much more important. So if my conclusion was somewhat negative, not negative fully, somewhat negative is because of this reason, that's fine. To pass this kind of an examination, you require a crash program of studies of a certain kind, in which your faculty developments are crushed. And you have to drill yourself on and on and on a particular line of development, which is good. But the results are extremely limited. It is like Hatha Yogi. He also develops tremendous capacities of the body by doing exercises again and again. But he can't be a Jnana Yogi at the same time. He can't do Karma Yoga at the same time. He can't do Bhakti Yoga at the same time. And much of the time will be lost only on Hatha Yogic exercises, 30-40 years. And then when the time comes when you have to apply Karma Yoga, you will be failure. So our education is of this type. We take a lot of time to study a few subjects and attain to a certain kind of an achievement. As a result, all of us are so lopsided that in the test of life we fail. We do not know how to relate ourselves with people. We don't have the right states of consciousness. We don't, as Mother said, you should have the capacity to be silent when you want to be silent. When you want to have knowledge, you should be able to get the knowledge when you want it. These are the capacities which you don't develop at all.